Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 11 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. It's just the two of us, just you and me. As you know, every week I take a segment or two and talk about things that are on my mind. And today I want to talk about another edition of my new regular series. This one is, as you know, my new regular series. It's a 13th edition of it, by the way, so I'm not superstitious. But this was dedicated to helping small business owners stick their finger in the eye of the coronavirus. And I call it the new regular because Normal has assumed the stage name Abnormal and is now traveling in touring in a traveling freak show across the Australian outback. So when you think about it, there's not much new about change in the past 5,000 years, just variations on old themes. Electrification, for example, is lightning in a bottle. And your PC or your Apple Watch are battery-powered Antikythera mechanisms. Look that up, circa 2100 BC. But there's one thing that is new about change. It's velocity. Change is happening faster. As analog has been supplanted by digital, we've witnessed an unprecedented compression of time between model generations, from hardware to software to associated behaviors and practices. And out here on Main Street, that velocity, not the change, the velocity is what's taking our breath away. Now, let's apply that truth to both the coronavirus pandemic and our response to it. There are many adjectives to describe the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus in our lives, hateful, unprecedented, deadly, things like that. But in the marketplace, the adjective is disruptive. The pandemic has certainly caused a disruptive disturbance in the force. But if you expect to be in business next year, meeting those disruptions effectively is your prime directive for survival. And the best way to survive and thrive in the new regular is to distinguish between the cause and effect. In this case, the inconvenient from the inevitable. So let's say that another way. The coronavirus pandemic, the cause of the disruption, appears to have been avoidable. So anger is justified here. This didn't have to happen. We're justified in being angry. So let's go ahead and get that off our chest. So use your expletive, I'll use mine, to talk about COVID-19, and that should make us feel better. But now we must deal with dispassionately and separately with the disruption effect. We must accept that many of the operating adjustments we're having to make today due to the pandemic-associated disruptions were, in fact, inevitable. Like forcing a tulip to bloom out of season, the pandemic merely accelerated by a year or five many innovations, behaviors, practices, and expectations that were already coming at us. If you're looking for a silver lining in all that's happened this year, ironically, you'll find it in that accelerated velocity of change that's been taking our breath away. As disruptive as the coronavirus response has been, thanks to digital leverage, millions of earthlings have worked productively from home for several months now. Indeed, the cliche pick for the cover of the catalog of pandemic accelerated practices and behaviors would be that of a teleworker. Teleworking, also known as telecommuting, remote working, fencing the North 40 out of the line shack. Teleworking is a concept that's been around a long time. In fact, decades ago, for several years, I managed a large territory for a Fortune 50 company out of my home office. My analog technology was an Underwood 5, carbon paper, an answering service, and payphones. Since then, and for most of the 21st century, as broadband availability increased and became augmented by mobile networks, it's common for employees to work from home a few days each week. maybe more. And don't forget about the burgeoning gig economy, how it works. Even though the pandemic didn't create the teleworking shift, essentially overnight, it rudely accelerated it into an unprecedented workplace diaspora. But post-pandemic, we'll settle into an infinite number of teleworking combinations with each organization and individual seeking a comfort level for management performance, their own level of management and performance. Our experience this year has exposed three factors that prove ubiquitous working from home, ubiquitous remote working, was a paradigm shift waiting to happen. First, new and improved digital technology makes remote working fall off a log easy. We found that out, right? Number two, CEOs report that their now remote organizations have been surprisingly effective and productive. And number three, these are the words out of CEO's mouth. Some of them you've heard on this show. Tell me again why I'm paying all this for empty offices. Look for factor three, that empty office thing. Why am I paying so much money? Look for factor three to cause the marketplace to quickly embrace other pandemic-associated disruptions. As in the case of many changes in life and business, the answer is money. What's the question? But before we get too excited about this tilt toward teleworking, some aspects of this shift must be addressed. First, all office space reduction savings won't drop straight to the bottom line. The company will have to contribute to employee remote working environments and practices, especially including cybersecurity. It's not going to be enough just to secure our networks under our roof. We'll have to secure them all the way out to the last mile where our employees are. That's going to be a trick. Number two, remote working won't work for all employees. You probably may have already found that out. Some boomers won't thrive as teleworkers, and younger employees may have difficulty working alone, away from the feedback of the hive. Here's the teleworker sleeper issue. How do you create, instill, and maintain that powerful, essential, intangible corporate culture with a remote workforce, especially with new remote working employees who were never imprinted on the high touch of the mothership? Think about that. They were never in the building. They never knew about the culture. And you're bringing them on board this tomorrow or a year from now. How do you, if they're remote workers, if they continue to be so, their office doesn't exist anymore like it did a year ago, how do you imprint them on the culture? That's going to be another trick. So forgive me for playing Pollyanna's glad game, but if the pandemic had to happen, it turns out that 2020 was a good year instead of, say, 20 years ago. A year from now, we'll marvel at how well the pandemic-battered marketplace and rudely disrupted workplace held together thanks to the change-accelerating leverage of digital technology. All that acceleration of change turned out to help us out this year, because what would it have happened had this pandemic happened 20 years ago? And you know what, folks? We accomplished that, all of that, because of and in spite of the pandemic. So remember this. You'll survive and you'll feel better if you stick your finger in the eye of the coronavirus by differentiating the pandemic inconvenient cause from its effect on the inevitable. Quick break, 20 after. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.